Instead of working just one job for a single employer, more and more of us are becoming gig workers, people who consult, freelance, contract, temp, and do jobs on call. The number of Americans with these alternative work arrangements has been growing steadily over the last 10 years. So what does that mean? It's what we're exploring today. Over the last few years, mobile apps have made it possible to juggle multiple gigs. You can deliver groceries, walk dogs, chauffeur people around, all in one workday. But this new kind of freedom comes at a cost. Most gig workers are considered independent contractors, and that means they're responsible for taking care of a lot of social benefits others take for granted. Things like paying their own taxes, social security, and health insurance.
It's one of the oldest tricks in the book to try to deny that you are the employer of your workers and thereby saving a huge amount on labor costs.
Shannon Liss Reardon is a lawyer who's been representing gig workers for nearly 20 years. Right now, she's advocating specifically for Uber drivers. In this story that originally aired on the podcast Life of the Law, reporter Casey Miner looks at what the law can and can't do for gig workers.
The cases Shannon Liss Reardon sees are pretty blatant, obvious situations where employers are trying to get out of obligations and where employees feel they've been wronged. But not everyone who's a contractor feels like they're being exploited. And this is where things get more complicated. Harry Campbell drives for both the car service company Uber and its competitor Lyft, and he runs a blog and a podcast called The Rideshare Guy.
The ride-hail guy or the glorified taxi guy just didn't have the same cachet.
He used to have a day job as an engineer, but when we talked, he'd actually just quit to focus on the rideshare stuff.
Today's actually my first day of real full-time self-employment.
Campbell's fellow drivers are suing both Uber and Lyft right now. The lawyer in the Uber case is, you guessed it, Shannon Liss Reardon. Campbell's not part of the suit, but he says he gets where his fellow drivers are coming from.
So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. The biggest problem is that basically you're at the mercy of these companies.
But Campbell says the work still has its perks, and he worries that making drivers employees would make the work a lot less appealing.
I mean, if I wanted to go drive right now, I could turn my app on and I could do one ride and then be done for the day, or I could go drive 12 hours right now if I wanted. I could take a month off or I can work a month straight. And there aren't many jobs in general that allow you to do that.
Yeah, you know, it really wasn't that long ago that a lot of people would see work as an on-off switch, that you either had a job or you didn't.
Dan Lavoie is director of strategy for the Freelancers Union, an advocacy group for independent workers.
It's not an on-off switch, it's a dimmer switch. And you're moving back and forth between, you know, sort of traditional 9-to-5 work with freelance work, sometimes doing both at the same time. You know, you might be crafting on Etsy and renting your spare room on Airbnb and designing websites for some friends and singing in a band all at the same time. And, you know, using all those different streams of income to make the life that you really want.
Lavoie says around 14 million people work this way. And so far, labor law isn't keeping up.
It's changing so fast that, you know, a tweak here and a tweak there just really isn't going to capture the reality of what life is like for this new workforce.
Remember, being a freelancer means the companies you work for don't owe you anything. You're not paid for travel, for investments in equipment, for the time you lose when you get sick. It can make for a very low hourly rate. And if you lose the gig, there's no safety net.
It seems to cry out for the law either to create a new category, which would give these people some protections, particularly the protections of minimum wage and overtime, and some protections under labor law.
This is Wilma Liebman. She was a member of the National Labor Relations Board for nearly 15 years and its chair for 2.5. She saw a lot of clear-cut misclassification cases where companies claimed workers were independent while controlling everything they did. But she also saw these cases that didn't quite fit the mold.
Maybe the rigidity of these classifications is becoming more obvious to some people, so people are talking about a third category.
A third category, something between employee and independent contractor that would acknowledge situations like Harry Campbell's, for example, and build in protections for people like him. One term for this could be dependent contractor. Liebman suggested that in a case she heard where independent newspaper carriers worked primarily for one company. She says there are similar categories in some European countries. Germany has something called an employee-like person.
I think particularly with the concern about inequality, there's going to be a growing attention to how are all these people going to make a sustainable living.
The idea that we might need to think more broadly about employment is starting to make its way into the courts. The judge hearing the Lyft driver lawsuit recently decided that the case should go to trial. In deciding whether drivers are employees or contractors, he said the jury will, quote, be handed a square peg and asked to choose between two round holes.